Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to Guat Rocks, God, the World, and Other Things. I'm Kenny Price, your host. Our mission, advancing equilibrium in the midst of an agitated world. Little did I know when I named the podcast what I did in the subtitle, just how agitated our world would become. My friend, right now, there is so much going on. You could easily slip into the mode of saying, why bother about anything? Why care about anything? Why keep on doing what I'm doing when it may not really matter? And my friend, that is exactly what the devil wants you to do. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do today. Pray, take some time out, clear your mind, focus on the commands of the Lord. What has he told us to do while we're still on this planet? And keep your mind focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and just keep on keeping on. There's a great blessing in store for those of us who will not lose heart, who will not give up hope, who will continue to communicate the truth of the gospel to people that we meet and continue to live lives that honor God. There's coming a great reward. I want to continue to remind you that if you know Jesus and you're living for him, you are not the one in trouble. My friend, that makes all the difference in the world. Keep in mind, you're not the one in trouble. There may be people in authority over you where you work, where you live, our government, the world leaders that put things in such a way to where you feel like you're the one on the chase, you're the one being pursued. But my friend, keep in mind that the godless people of this world are being pursued by the holy God, and he's not going to stop until he catches them. On the day that they stand before the great white throne judgment of God Almighty, they are going to be shocked at what he does to them and how he calls them out and how he reveals every little secret sin. My friend, I was thinking just the other day that I grew up with kids that were so sadistic. They just intrinsically were mean. They were intrinsically hateful. They would find pleasure out of crushing an insect. And my friend, I'm telling you that the God of all creation who made those insects, he's writing every little single thing down. And so when they were 6 years old and they found joy in causing harm to some animal or to some insect, that my friend, God's writing it down. And if their sin is not covered under the blood shed of Jesus Christ, then on the day of judgment, when they stand before the Almighty God and his royal throne, he is going to open the books and every little single thing that they did in this life is recorded. It's going to be analog. It's going to be in a book. God is not going to say, angel, turn on the computers, pull up their data file. My friend, God rocks it old school. And he is going to take every little single thing written against them, and it's going to be read for all of creation to hear, except for those who have already been booted into a holy hell, destined for the devil and his angels. God didn't want anyone human to go there, but because of the rebellion of man's heart, if they don't repent and turn to him, that's where they're headed. He must. He is just. He is holy. He is righteous. He will do the right thing. And so, my friend, right now, as we go through this time of turbulence, keep in mind, God is on the throne. And when we look at situations and circumstances and we think, can there be any more? Yes, there can. But my friend, it's only for a limited time. And so I cry out to you today, do not lose hope. Do not become depressed. Do not implode. I know people who are imploding. People that have served Jesus for decades, they're imploding. And my friend, that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. If you are a husband or a wife and you have a family, they need you. They need you to be on top of things. They need your mind in the game. They need your attention. Do you realize when you become distracted and depressed, you are open to all sorts of maladies, including health, including accidents, including running into that ladder that's sticking out of the back of the truck at Home Depot, and you're not paying attention because your mind is clouded and you run right into the back of that red flagged ladder. Of course, when it's red flagged, it's legal, but running straight into it, clipping yourself in the jaw, having to have stitches and surgery. My friend, we have to keep our head in the game. This is a time to be joyous before the Lord because he is in control. Right now, if it appears to be that he's hiding, my friend, he's not hiding. And we're seeing people get radically saved, people that were so hateful towards God Almighty who are coming into true salvation. At the same time, the wicked are being revealed for what they are. And so, my friend, don't lose heart. Hang tight. Walk faithfully with God. He is in control. He is going to get us through this thing. And I guarantee you that when you get to the other side and I get to the other side, if we know Jesus and we enter into his glorious heaven, it will all be worth it. Just one glimpse of it is going to blow our minds. We won't even be able to comprehend what awaits us. And to think about it, we'll never have to pay another bill. We'll never have to pay another house payment. We'll never have to pay tax upon tax upon tax. We'll never have to worry about someone coming into our home at night and murdering us. We'll never have to worry about someone hitting our car and driving off and hit and run. I tell you, my friend, that this is going to be a glorious time. And the time that we live in now, the Bible makes it clear that this life is just a vapor. We're not liquid and we're solid. We're in transition. And if you know Jesus, you're in transition towards a heavenly home that is very real. And the good news is we're not going to become something other. We're going to be us perfected. We're going to be us in bodies that don't decay, bodies that don't become crippled, bodies that don't become impaired. And so it's going to be me and you. I'm going to know you. You're going to know me. I'm going to know everyone in heaven, whether I've ever met them before or not. We're going to have perfect knowledge because we're going to be like God. We're not going to be gods, but we're going to be humans perfected. And the good news is also the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, he is perfect human. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. But he was born without sin. He never sinned. He lived the perfect life. He died the perfect death. And he rose the perfect resurrection to purchase a place for you and me in heaven. And the thing that pumps me up, that gets me excited, is that Jesus has resurrected, glorified human eyes. And when we get to see him face to face, he's going to be standing there in a resurrected, glorified human body. And his eyes are going to be moist, organic aliveness, because he is resurrected human, God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the only one who has ever become incarnate or who can incarnate, become flesh. I remind you that when the devil comes and he possesses that person that's known as the Antichrist, it is not going to be the incarnation of Satan. Incarnation is a deific act. That means it is an act that only God in creation can do. Satan will possess the human being. He will take over his human mind. We don't understand how that works, but that's what he's going to do. And so he's going to control that body who becomes the vessel for Satan to work through as he does his damage on this planet at the end. But my friend, we are going to see the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ resurrected, glorified. God became man. It's going to be a beautiful time. And, you know, I just remind you, the first thing we're going to eat, we're going to have what my friend Terry Berry, my best friend who died with cancer, he used to say, we're going to have a throwdown. And I didn't know what that meant, but that means just a big blowout party with a lot of great food. And my friend, we're going to have a giant banquet. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And so I want to just remind you today, however you're feeling, pick yourself up. We're going to talk about this when we talk about temptation. That because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the power to do things. We don't do it in our own strength, but because the Holy Spirit of God, the God of the universe, lives in us, if we know Jesus, then we are empowered to do things. And so today, the reason why I'm talking about temptation, as I've looked at the landscape, and you know, we sit back and we wonder, well, does anybody remember me? Does anyone remember the good that I've done? The time and the investment I've made in them. How come someone doesn't pick up the phone and call me? How come I don't hear from people in the past? You know, as ministers of the gospel, I'm just telling you that the way we think is all these people that I've ministered to, how come they don't call me? How come they don't say, hey, Kenny, I remember you in my life? You know, that's in our humanness. But you know what? That type of thinking goes nowhere. It's meaningless. And especially right now in this time, my friend, that what needs to happen to you and to me is that every ounce of our fiber of our being is focused on Jesus and our personal relationship with him and our walk in obedience to Him, that is all that matters. He is going to take care of everything else. But He can't take care of things if you or I are living in disobedience to Him. Now, as a loving Father, He's going to chastise us at some point, but thank God He doesn't deal with us the way that we deserve. He is always gracious and merciful to His children. But my friend, if there's anything I can encourage you to do, boy, I hope this makes it through to a lot of people, is that this is a time to jettison the thoughts about the past, jettison the hurts that have been done to you from the past, jettison those sense of regrets that you have about the past, and jettison those worries about the future, and focus in on Jesus and your walk with Him, and to ensure that you are walking in righteousness. I tell you, the Bible makes it clear that when we are translated, when we are caught up to be with Jesus, we don't want to be caught up in the moment that we're committing some sort of atrocious sin. I don't know how all that works, but the Bible makes it clear, don't be caught that way. And so, dear friend, I am telling you that we don't have a clue as to when Jesus will call for each of us. But we want to make sure that in that moment that we are doing something that is bringing honor and glory to Him. And so, to me, one of the core fundamental things that each of us need to give attention to is in the sphere of temptation. And this podcast, this is season 19, episode 410. There's a lot of different names it could be, but the fact of the matter is, I really want to get across to you the fact that temptation is a sphere. When Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, temptation is not sin. It is the precursor to sin. But when Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, that what He's communicating is that temptation is a sphere. It is a place. And I shared this many, many podcasts ago, probably hundreds of podcasts ago. We're almost at we're in the middle of 400s now. But I tell you, way back, I told the story about having the opportunity when I was working as a teacher's assistant while I was going to college to get my master's, that they would send us to this training, you know, within the school system. And they had us, I was working with children who were emotionally disturbed. So they had someone come speak to us who suffered from a lifelong malady of clinical depression, and he was an older gentleman. I remember when he came and he took his seat in the front of the class, the first thing he said is that depression is a place. And he said, unless you've been there, he said, you cannot understand what I'm saying. But he said, depression is not just a state of mind. He said, when I go into severe depression, he says, I am in a real place. He said, everything in my world visually looks different. It sounds different to my ears, and it feels different. It tastes different. That depression becomes a place. It is a place. It's not just a mind state. And in a very real way, in a very similar way, the temptation is not just a mental concept. Temptation is just not some sort of a digital response. You know, our brains are basically digital in action. It's not just some digital response to some sort of an external stimulation that we call temptation, that it is being and entering into a real place. And so when Jesus said, lead us not into temptation, temptation is a place. It's a sphere, the sphere of temptation. And another way to think about it is temptation is the incubator for sin. Okay, when you enter into sin, there have been things happening prior to the actual committing of a sin, which is an act against a holy God. And so another title for this podcast, the original title was going to be The Treachery of Temptation, The Treachery of Temptation. And it really, if you want to put this into kind of a Middle English type of mindset, that it's really kind of the concept of a Trojan horse entering into a castle across the drawbridge and being taken into the internal workings of the castle. And so that's the relationship between temptation and sin. But so let's focus on this. The treachery of temptation, the sphere of temptation. Temptation is a place. In this present age, despite abundant warnings and visible examples of the consequences of yielding to temptation, people recklessly rush into it. Regardless of their strength or the stakes for their souls, they pursue worldly pleasures without considering the risks. This recklessness has led countless professed believers astray in recent years. And my friend, I was going to spend time to enumerate some of them, but you know what? That goes in the wrong direction. Because again, my focus is not on man, and my focus is not on the fallacy and the fallibility of man. My focus is on myself and dealing with temptation. But it is good to stop and think when you know people who, powerful people, influential people, leaders who have professed believers who have gone astray in recent years. This is a warning to you and to me. But reflect on yourself, your weaknesses, and the power of temptation and where it leads. And we have to get honest. In our own strength, you're weak, plain and simple. You lack the strength to resist in your own self. Thinking you're strong is a big part of your weakness, just like Peter thought. Anyone who claims to be capable of anything apart from the grace and mercy of the Lord is probably kidding themselves. And what's worse, your weakness isn't just regular weakness. It's weakness from within. A weakness born from the treacherous part of you that every temptation appeals to. Imagine a fortress with a traitorous faction inside, ready to open the gates to the enemy at the first chance. That's what your heart is like. You may have secret desires lying dormant within you, waiting for a temptation to awaken them. Once a temptation comes, your secret desires will rise up, causing chaos, seduction, and unrest until they're either satisfied or subdued. Anyone who thinks they'll remain steadfast under temptation is fooling themselves. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 7 through 15, Elisha's servant had been sent by Elisha to deliver a message to Hazael, who was at that time serving as an official in the court of Aramean, who was the Syrian king, Ben-Hadad. When Hazael inquired about King Ben-Hadad's health, Elisha's servant relayed to him that the king would recover from his illness. However, he also revealed to Hazael that the king would ultimately die, and Hazael would become king in his place. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, that Elisha stared steadily at him until he was ashamed. The man of God wept, and Hazael asked, "Why is my lord weeping?" He replied, "Because I know the evil you would do to the people of Israel. You will set their fortresses on fire. You will kill their young men with a sword. You will dash their children to pieces. You will rip open their pregnant women." Hazael responded with disbelief and shock, questioning whether he was capable of such an act. Hazael, in verse 13, said, "How could your servant, a mere dog, do such a mighty deed?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will be king over Aram." Hazael left Elisha and went to his master, who asked him, "What did Elisha say to you?" He responded, "He told me you are sure to recover." The next day, Hazael took a heavy cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over the king's face. Ben-Hadad died, and Hazael reigned in his place. Hazael's statement, "Am I a dog that I should do this thing?" expresses his initial incredulity at the idea that he would commit such atrocities. However, as the story unfolds, Hazael ultimately fulfills the prophecy by murdering King Ben-Hadad and seizing the throne of Aram. This episode illustrates Hazael's transformation from a hesitant servant to a ruthless, murderous, and ambitious ruler. That is the danger and treachery of entering into temptation. Jesus prayed, "Lead us not into temptation." The phrase is correct. Another way to say it is succumbing to temptation. There can be a difference between succumbing to temptation and committing the sin. Succumbing to temptation refers to yielding or giving in to the pressure or allure of temptation, often resulting in a mental or emotional acceptance of that sinful act. Keep that in mind, my friend. That is the pivot point. That is the key. Resulting in a mental or emotional acceptance of the sinful act. That is entering into temptation. That is living in the sphere of temptation. However, committing the sin involves actually carrying out the sinful act, whether it be through thoughts, words, or deeds. While succumbing to temptation can lead to committing sin, it's possible to resist the temptation even after experiencing the urge to do wrong. For sin to occur, there has been a period of succumbing to temptation in your life. For sin to occur, there has been a period of succumbing to temptation in your life. That's talking about living in that sphere of temptation. Your mind toying with possibility of actual acting on the potential sin floating in your mind. Let me read that again. That entering into temptation is your mind toying with possibility of actually acting on the potential sin floating in your mind. That thought you now abhor on a particular thing, if you once enter into temptation, will find your heart inflamed towards it, and all contrary reasonings are overpowered and silenced. You will sneer at your former fears, cast out your conscience, and have contempt for the consideration that you once lived upon. My friend, you must be honest with yourself and understand that traitors lurk in your heart, ready to ally with every temptation, surrendering all, yes, to solicit and bribe temptations to do the work as traitors inside an enemy. Don't deceive yourself into thinking you'll remain steadfast. Hidden desires lurk in your heart. They may be dormant now, but when temptation strikes, they'll emerge, agitate, clamor, disturb, entice, and persist until either subdued or fulfilled. Anyone who assures themselves that their heart will remain unchanged in the face of temptation will be sorely mistaken. The Apostle Peter never imagined he'd deny his master when questioned about knowing him, but when the moment of temptation arrived, all his resolutions vanished. His love for Christ forgotten, and his carnal fear overwhelmed him, leading to his denial. To succeed in withstanding the ensnarement of temptation, you must come to the point where you realize that you are not all that in a bag of chips, to put it in modern jargon. Another way of saying it is, you ain't all that. The key to avoiding the allurement of temptation lies in developing a strong foundation of self-awareness, discipline, and reliance on the Holy Spirit and the equipping of our hearts to flee temptation rather than trudging through it. We'll cover some key strategies in the next episode to subdue being led into temptation. And with that, my friend, I bid you peace.